Hi family, welcome to Sweet Truth. Do you dare listen? I hope you guys are having a blessed day today. And today I will be reading from 2 Peter 6 to wherever I will be led to stop. So I'm just going to keep on going until I am led to stop today. But that is 2 Peter 2. Starting from 6, and I will be reading both from the NIV version and the New Life Bible version. But before we get into that, let us get into the prayer of the day. So Father God, I just want to thank you for this day, Father. I want to thank you for having washed over us throughout the week, Father God. And I pray that as the studying of this week, Father God, that you would just go before us, Father, and watch over us and keep us safe and bless us. And guide us and lead us and provide for us, Father God. Draw us closer to you, Father God. May we obey your word, Father. May we choose to obey you and listen to you and love you and respect you, Father. Trusting in you. Trusting in your words. Trusting that you know God. And that you are leading our lives to the path of your glory, Father God. And so I just want to thank you for that, Father. And this that I pray in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. So having served through this verse today, about this segment rather, I just want to put it out there, you know, that at the end of the day, it doesn't matter, you know, how you think or feel, you know, like basically what I'm trying to say is that sin is sin at the end of the day, regardless of whether you want to admit it or not, regardless of whether you feel some type of way or think some type of way, sin is sin at the end of the day. And the sooner we recognize that, the better off we are. Amen. And so let us get right into it. Verse 6, and I will be interchanging this with the NIV and the New Life. So, like, whenever I'm about to read the next verse, I'll just say, you know, New Life or NIV, so that means you know that I'm on to the next verse, amen. Or rather, the same verse, because I'm gonna be reading verse by verse with both the NIV version and the New Life version, amen. And so, okay, I'll just mention the number then. Yeah, that's the best way to put this. So let's go right into it. 6. God said that the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were guilty, and he destroyed them with fire. This was to show people who did not worship God what would happen to them. 7. Lot was taken away from Sodom because he was right with God. He had been troubled by the sins that bad men did in the world living. 8. He saw and heard how the people around him broke the law. Every day his own soul, which was right with God, was troubled because of their sinful ways. 9. But the Lord knows how to help men who are right with God when they are tempted. He also knows how to keep the sinners suffering for their wrongdoing until the day they stand before God, who will judge them. So just stopping right there at 9. Basically, yeah. And actually, before I get right into this, I saw someone posted some kind of like funny analogy this week about how, you know, that we should be lucky and like how it was Twitter. Someone tweeted this about how we are lucky, you know, like today's generation in today's world, about the difference between God in the Old Testament and of right now, you know, that if it was back in the day, like imagine how many people, you know, would be swallowed up by the ground and, you know, just punished right there on the spot, you know, because in the Old Testament, like, God did not play. You were sinful, you're gone. Like, you were gone, you're gone, just right like that. Whatever you did, you know, out of sin, whether it was intentionally or unintentionally, like, you are gone, you know. Your friends and everyone would just be wondering where you were the next day or something like that. Like, it was just instant, just like that, you know. You did something wrong, swallowed up. You did something wrong, something went wrong, you know, in your life or whatever. So, like, basically how we should be grateful that today God judges us best out of love, you know, and thank God for Jesus, yo. Like, we should thank God for Jesus because, man, like, just the disobedience on its own is a whole different level apart from, you know, the sin and all that. So, yeah, Sodom and Gomorrah, we're seeing it happening today, and it is celebrated, you know, as pride or whatever there. But back then, God, you know, banned Sodom and Gomorrah. And I feel, you know, the feelings that Lord has is what, you know, I have right now. Like, I am so uncomfortable when, you know, when it comes to, like, seeing, you know, same-sex relationships and, like, just couples out there and, like, marriages out there and it being celebrated. Like, my soul is, like, you know, kind of tormented by that because I'm like, no, like, I just feel like, Charlie, you know, this is not right. Yo, sin is sin. God did not create same-sex relationships, marriage, and stuff. And then the thing that gets to me is, like, they say that they kind of want to put it in the name of love, like, love is love or whatever. Like, no, that is not love. That is sin. And sin is sin. Not love is love, but sin is sin. You know? And so many people like to use the example of, like, hey, God created Adam and Eve. God did not create John and James. God did not create Sarah and Jen. You know, like, no, it is not right. It is not right. And sin is sin regardless of how you think about it, you know. Regardless of how you feel about it. Sin is sin at the end of the day. So, basically, like, God punished those, you know, back in the day, he punished the people that, you know, had same-sex relationships and stuff like that. Like, that whole city, Sodom and Gomorrah, was bent to the ground, you know. But in that same way, you know, as of right now, the word is basically trying to say that as for us, like the Lord's, you know, who our souls every day, we have to see this, we get to see this. And, you know, these people in today's world, today's generation, are basically breaking the law. But the Lord knows how to help us who are right with him. He also knows how to keep the sinners suffering for their wrongdoing until the day comes. So, basically, yeah, everyone's going to get judged, you know, by God at the end of the day when he comes, you know, because at the end of the day, only God can judge you, you know. And a lot of people like to use that excuse, like, okay, only God can judge me, only God. Yeah, but wouldn't you want to be judged, you know, for doing good and actually just living, like, a healthy, lawful way, you know, compared to, like, you know, living in a lawless state and actually getting to celebrate that, like it's right. You get what I'm trying to say? Like no, I will never, you know, stand for aka pride or whatever. Like I will never stand for that, and I'm gonna teach my children and my grandchildren and my great 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 grandchildren, my generation, like I want my family to know, like, hey, do not condone this and do not stand for this and do not fall in the ways of this world. Like sin is sin, and same-sex marriages, same-sex relationships are sinful and are wrong, period. Like at the end of the day, ain't no in-betweens. There are no gray areas around it. There is nothing in between it. Like no, sin is sin, and same-sex marriages, same-sex relationships is sin at the end of the day, period. So do not condone it, do not stand up for it. And I always like to use the excuse like, hey, okay, like God still loves me at the end of the day, you know, like regardless, like God still loves me. Like, yeah, that is true as well too. Like at the end of the day, regardless of what you do or don't do, God still loves you. But wouldn't you want to love him back? Like, don't you love God? He loves you, but don't you love him? Don't you? Because love goes to us as well too, right? Like, why do you want to keep on sinning and using the excuse of like, hey, I'm still, like, God still loves me at the end of the day. And, but what are you doing, you know? Are you loving God at the end of the day? You know, and so, don't condone that. And and don't support that. Like I would never. And right now, let me now go to the NIV version and see what it has to say. And that was 6 to 10. No, 6 to 9. So NIV reading. If he condemned the cities, you know, of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly. See, so he made them, God made that an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, you know. Hey, hell has fire, right? And if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the deprived conduct of the lawless, for the righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. Imagine if Saul was alive right now. Like Saul isn't, I mean, my bad, Lot. If Lot was, you know, in today's generation and he gets to actually see, you know, what is happening today as of right now when it comes to this lawlessness of you know, gayism and whatever the acronyms are, you know, in that area or whatever. Like back then, I don't think it was as bad as it is now, because now it's like trying to get it normalized by like the whole world. But back then it only seemed to exist in, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah. So imagine, you know, how Lord must look down from heaven and see this around the whole world, and like how glad he is, you know, that he is not even in today's you know, generation and stuff. Like the poor thing would be terrified. He would not want to live in today's generation because of this. And that's how lucky, like that's how I feel like too as well. To like, man, like I would not want to live, you know, in today's generation, today's where it seems like, you know, lawlessness after lawlessness, and it seems to be getting accepted and getting, you know, recognized, like it's a good thing, you know, as if it's not sin, you know. And more and more people are accepting this every day, like, hey, like it's the way to go, like it's the future. And I'm like, no, it is lawless and it is sin at the end of the day. Like, sin is sin. And there are no gray areas, you know, when it comes to sin. So, Lot was tormented, you know, his righteous soul, you know, by the lawless deeds that he saw and heard. And I feel like even, you know, with so many men and God of women out there, like, we are, you know, tormented by the lawless deeds that we get to see and hear, you know. Like, I'm like, like, I don't even want to watch, you know, movies or, like, you know, and, you know, tunes that have such, you know, sins in them, because I'm like, no, like, I try as much as possible, you know, in my power to, before I watch something, you know, to find out, like, hey, does it contain, you know, this lawlessness? Because I don't even want to see it, you know, in what I'm watching. I don't want to see it, I don't want to hear it, I don't want to know about it, you know. That is how bad it is. Like, no, I will not condone sin. I'm not gonna watch it, I'm not gonna hear it, you know. Like, no, 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 no. And so I am so glad that verse 9, that if this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to hold the unrighteous for punishment on the day of judgment, you know. So at least I'm like, that's my prayer, like, God, keep me away from this, you know. Like, Father God, save my future generations and generations and generations, Father God, from my line, from my family, you know. Like, keep them away from this lawlessness. Like, that is, you know, my concern when it comes to, like, my future children and, like, the future generations. Like, I do not want them supporting this. I do not want them being, you know, involved in such, you know, lawlessness. And I do not want them to acknowledge sin, you know, as something okay, or, like, something right, or, like, it's okay, or, like, you know, like, it's okay for a man to love a man and, like, for a woman to love a woman, you know, to the point of, like, wanting to be, you know, in a relationship with them and wanting to marry them. And, like, no, like, I don't want my future children and my future generations and generations and generations, you know, to ever be in support of that. Because, like, no, like, listen to this. My lineage, I want them to know that sin is sin and that lawlessness is lawlessness, and that do not stand for that, do not watch it, do not support it, you know. Because God hates sin and it is not right, and in everything that we do, we should try, or rather, I feel like saying that trying, it's kind of, like, good enough, because everything, again, falls back to, like, a choice. And so, like, my prayer is that we choose to obey God and that we choose to not support sin and lawlessness, and we choose to trust God, and that we choose God's ways. Amen. Because the word of God says, and this is something that, you know, I also try to base my life upon, that love and obedience work hand in hand, they go together. So you can say you love God and then but in support of sin, you know, and, like, are not in obedience with his word. Amen. So that is straightforward, and yeah, that is so straightforward on that part, you know. And so I'm glad we've gotten to see that and learn that, and thank God that, you know, Jesus came so that we may be cleansed and washed clean from all sins and trespasses. Amen. And so moving forward, verse 10. From the New Life. This is true about those who keep on wanting to please their own bodies in sinful desires and those who do not obey laws. They want to please themselves and are not afraid when they laugh and say bad things about the powers in heaven. 11. Angels are greater in strength and power than they, but angels do not speak against these powers before the Lord. 12. Men are like this, like animals who are not able to think but are born to be caught and killed. They speak bad words against that which they do not understand. They will die in their own sinful ways. 13. This is the pay they will suffer for their sinful lives. They are not ashamed when they sin, in the daylight. They are souls and dirty spots among you while they eat and drink big meals with you. 14. Their eyes are full of sex sins. They never have enough sin. They get weak people to go along with them. Their hearts are always wanting something. They are people who will end up in hell because 15. They have left the right way and have gone the wrong way. They have followed the way of Balaam, who was the son of Beor. He loved the money he got for his sin, but he was stopped in his sin. A donkey spoke to him with a man's voice. It stopped this early preacher from going on his crazy way. Wow, so you see that? Wow. So basically, you know, the word is the word. The word has said it all. You know, for those pleasing your body and all that, it is all sin. And basically, the word is saying that, you know, those who follow the corrupt desire of the flesh, because you wanting to please yourself, you know, and wanting, you know, those are desires of the flesh. And our goal is not to follow the desires of the flesh, and that is the most one particular area that the enemy tries to tempt us is with the desires of the flesh, and he uses that all the time, and it is so bad, and it is trickery. But if you know the word of God, the word says, God says that you will get tempted, you know, but it will not be enough to a point where, like, you can't handle it. So even from, like, with the temptations that come with, you know, the desires of the flesh, you know, and when the enemy tries to drop these temptations on us, God says that yes, you will be tempted, but it will not be enough, you know, to make you, like, want to go through with the temptation, if that makes sense, because I have given you, you know, the power to, like, stand against that, you know. And even regardless with knowing, you know, that God has given us enough to, like, stand against that, sometimes we still fall short of the glory of God. But the most important thing is knowing that, hey, don't try to dwell on the temptation when you're tempted, because that is how you get trapped, you know, and that is how you end up doing something that you didn't want to do, you know, saying something that you didn't want to say, or saying and hearing something that you didn't want to see or hear, you know. So one thing that helps is knowing that love and obedience, you know, work together, you know, they move together. So it's like, if I'm gonna say, like, hey, I love God, then I'm gonna want to obey his word. And what does his word say? His word says, do not want to follow your own sinful ways, you know. And it says it just so perfectly here in the NIV version, which I'm going to read next, which reads that this is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desires of the flesh and despise authority. bold and arrogant, they are not afraid to heap abuse on celestial beings. Basically saying, yeah, like, if you're weak, basically you're also gonna fall to the side of, you know, the ones that are being sinful. And it gives an example of, like, angels, you know, even saying that, yet even angels, although they are stronger and more powerful, do not, you know, heap abuse on such beings when bringing judgment on them from the Lord. But those people blaspheme in matters they do not understand. They are like unreasoning animals, creatures of instinct, born only to be caught and destroyed. And like animals, they would to perish. They will be paid back with the harm for the harm they have done. The idea of pleasure is too carouse in broad daylight. They are blots and blemishes revealing in their pleasures while they feast with you. With eyes full of adultery, they never stop sinning. They seduce the unstable. They are experts in greed, an accused broad. They have left the straight way and wandered off to the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness. Oh, and this just reminded me, for the wages of sin is death. So, aim, try, and rather choose not to sin, you know, not to, for because the wages of sin is death. Verse 16, but he was rebuked for his wrongdoing by a donkey, an animal without speech, who spoke with a human voice and restrained the prophet's madness. And I saw this the other time too, where it was saying, like, actually, oh well, I guess many of you knew this anyway, like, you know, God was the one speaking through the donkey, but in case you didn't know, it was God speaking through the donkey. Amen. And so, if you've, you know, listened to my other segments too as well, I've talked about, there is a segment that I've talked about closing your doors and windows, and basically the doors being ears and the windows being eyes, you know, to, you know, anything that may try to corrupt, you know, your mind and your thoughts, you know. And if you try to do that and choose to, rather, no, the word of the day is choose. So you choose, it's your choice, and then at the end of the day, to not open your eyes and your ears to what, you know, they're not supposed to be open to, what you're not supposed to see, you know. And that is avoiding these, you know, movies and games or whatever, because now it's like, lawlessness is in about everything, you know. So you choose not to dwell on that, and you choose to rather obey God's law and God's word, and you choose to love God, then you choose to not sin. If you choose God, you know, you can only choose one. You either go choose to sin, or you can choose to obey God and love God and respect God. So the choice is yours at the end of the day, you know. So my question to you is, like, what are you choosing? Verse 17 from the New Life. Such people are like wells without water. They are like clouds before a storm. The darkest place below has been kept for them. They speak big sounding words which show they are proud. They get men who are trying to keep away from sinful men to give into the sinful desires of the flesh. They promise that these men will be free, but they themselves are chained to sin. For a man is chained to anything that has power over him. Wow, like, that was so powerful right there. You know, so just like stopping right there. Basically, yeah, sin is a chain, and so these are people who are in lawlessness, you know, a chain to the sin, and they try to get as many, you know, to join them and to be chained in this sin, but you should know that God has the power to break chains off, you know. Because for anything that, you know, you allow to have power over you is basically a chain, you know. So, like, what are you allowing today to have power over you? Are you allowing lawlessness to have power over you? Are you allowing greed, money, etc., etc., to have power over you? All those are chains, you know. And in today's world, more than ever, people need these chains to be broken. These chains of lawlessness and chains of sin and chains of greed, you know. They need to be broken before they corrupt more and more, you know, the weaker ones. And in this part, the weak ones are the ones that do not know, you know, the word of God. You fail and you fall because you know not. And that is why I encourage, you know, people, even in my other segments, to know the word of God for yourself. Because when you know the word of God for yourself, no one can group you in into, you know, lawlessness and sins and desires of the flesh. Like, no one has, you know, you will basically not have a power over you. You will not allow no powers to be over you, you know, and you will not have chance in your life because you know the truth and you know the word for yourself. So you know God's heart, you know, and you choose to know the word for yourself. You choose to know, you know, the laws and ways of God for yourself. Therefore, you know, you basically won't have no power over you, you know, because there's a chance. It says, but it's straightforward, for a man is chained to anything that has power over him, you know. So today, like, what has power over you, you know, is my question to you, you know. What has power over you? Like, what have you allowed to have power over you? You need to break that. That needs to be broken, you know, in the name of Jesus Christ. And, you know, and for the ones that do not know, you know, do not be led astray, you know, by the wolves in sheep clothing. Amen. So moving on, 20, from the new life as well. There are men who have been made free from the sins of the world by learning to know the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who serves. See, this is what I just said. So you can be made free, you know, from sin, from lawlessness, from greed, by knowing Jesus and by knowing the word. Amen? Because Jesus Christ is the only one who sets us free. I love this. But if they do the sins again and are not able to keep away from doing them, they are worse than they were before. So basically, even while knowing that, hey, this is a sin, but you're choosing to do that, it's like, hey, you're worse than you were before. 21, knowing that, after knowing the holy law that was given to them, they turn from it. It would have been better for them if they had not known how to be right with God. They are like the wise saying, a dog turns back to what he has thrown up, and a pig that has been washed goes back to roll in the mud. Yeah, so basically, like, and someone said this to me one time, you know, like, it is actually worse for the ones that know that, hey, something is a sin and yet they choose to do it, than for the ones who do not know at all, you know. Like, it is worse for you who knows. For example, if you know that stealing is wrong and you decide to steal anyway, like, that is worse for you than someone who does not know that stealing is wrong and decides to steal, you know. So, like, For those who have listened to this podcast and this segment today, you now know, you know. So it's not like you don't know, so that you can't have that excuse of like, hey, I didn't know this, so that's why I did it anyway. Like, no, you now know it now. And Peter says, like, so it is worse for you who actually knows, and then yet you decide to go ahead and, you know, do the deed, or do whatever you know is wrong and lawlessness while knowing the truth. So once you know, you can't unknow. That's why it's giving the examples of like, hey, this is like a dog, you know, turning back to what he has thrown up, you know, and eating it back again, or like a pig that has been washed and going back in the mud. That's basically it, you know, and that is the whole chapter, amen, that I'm done. But like, hey, there is so much, you know, that we've learned from 2 Peter 2, 6 to 22. Yeah, 6 to 22 was the whole chapter. But, you know, there is so much to learn. There is so much, you know, we can learn from Peter. And he's taught us a lot. And I am so grateful that, you know, Peter had these facts and like truth and, you know, reading down there, and so that we can know. And like, man, like, Peter is so wise, and it is just a blessing, like, to me personally, you know, to be able to know the word and read the word. And like, Peter has been a blessing to me, and I'm not even done yet. But like, yo, I hope you guys have learned as much, you know, as I have learned, you know, from this. And just knowing that, hey, once you know, do not support lawlessness, you know, do not fall entrapped to the desires of the flesh, you know, but rather teach your flesh to love and obey God's word and to obey God. Amen. And so I hope you guys have learned as much as I have learned from this segment today. And I hope you guys have a blessed week, you know, this week, and that that starting from today onwards, you would choose to obey God, that you would choose to love God, that you would choose to not be in support of lawlessness and sin, amen. And so, if you've recognized these things and are ready to turn away from lawlessness and sin and desires of the flesh, then repeat after me. Dear God, forgive me, Father, for choosing to go after the desires of the flesh, Father God, and sinfulness and pride and lawlessness, Father God, even while knowing that you are against those things, Father. Father, forgive me for not choosing to choose you, for not choosing to choose your word, your laws, and for not choosing to obey your word, Father God. Father, I know I am a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe Jesus Christ is your son. I believe that he died for my sins and that you raised him to life. I want to trust you as my Savior and follow you as Lord. From this day forward, guide my life. Help me stray away from lawlessness and greed and sin. And help me to do your will. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen and amen. And if you pray that prayer, God is so proud of you. The angels dance and rejoice, and God says, welcome, my son, my daughter. Amen. And so, y'all, be blessed, be encouraged, be fearless, and have a blessed day.